The following ABC7 podcast is brought to you by ABC7News.com.
David Sanborn is considered the consummate jazz saxophonist in the world today. He plays it all, jazz, rock, blues. He took up the sax when he was just a kid, and his professional career was launched in San Francisco 41 years ago. Sanborn is playing Yoshi's Oakland through Sunday. We caught up with him in the club.
I started my, professional music career here in this area, in the Bay Area.
Is this Paul Butterfield?
Paul Butterfield Blues Band, yeah. I was telling you before that every time I fly into San Francisco, I always flash back on that day, you know, was it 41 years ago when I flew into San Francisco and just looked out the window and I goes, wow, wonder what's, because I'd never been to California before. And just looking out the window and saying, wow, I wonder what's going to happen. And then all this.
It's amazing, yeah. Well, you were a young kid when you first started playing, and you were playing.
I was 11 years old when I first started playing saxophone, yeah.
Yeah, but in no time, you sort of had nerves a little bit to just say, I want to play with the big guys?
Well, the situation was kind of tailor-made for that, in that there were a lot of bands, like a lot of territory bands, playing in these dances, like teenage dances around where I grew up in St. Louis. And, we used to hang out, my friend and I, who actually lives out here now, Ted Stewart is a drummer friend of mine. He and I used to hang out, at the bandstand, looking up at these guys playing. And we'd both been playing for, four or five years, something like that. And we kind of became friendly with one of the musicians, a piano player in the band, and just kind of got up the nerve to ask him if we could, maybe sit in. And they were gracious enough, this guy, Little Milton Campbell, was gracious enough to allow us to allow me to sit in.
And I
played with him, and then, I got the bug, and it was up there playing, just doing something simple like da-da-da-da-da, playing background stuff, and, people cheering, and I said, yeah, this is a good job.
This is it. You're just a.
I like this.
You're not even a teenager.
All right. Well, I was a teenager. Yeah.
Okay. But could that happen today? Were there so many strict laws?
I don't know. Well, this was a teenage dance that was. I mean, it was open to everybody, so it wasn't a bar scene. It was in the summertime, so it was outdoors. And, I don't know. It's hard to know how much of it is just the fact that I'm older, and maybe I just don't understand the scene as well now, but. It seems as though everything was more open and there was a lot more, certainly was a lot more live music in my life.
It's tough to find places now, luckily.
Yeah, a lot more opportunities, or so it seems.
Yeah. I've been at this television station for 35 years.
Wow.
A long time.
So,
And I've done a lot of things, so uh-huh. It's sort of like recreating myself in a sense, various times. And that's kind of what you do, because one minute you're playing rock, and the next minute you're playing jazz, and the next minute it's smooth jazz, and you have to be, I understand you have to have a name of Dave to play sax on any smooth jazz station.
Apparently. Smooth jazz or lumpy jazz, I guess,
So it's just, did you intentionally reinvent yourself? Are you just so intrigued by music in all its forms?
No, well, yeah, that's the short answer. Yeah, I think I grew up in an atmosphere of, the other musicians who were very, non-judgmental about other kinds of music. And it was like, if country music, jazz, rhythm and blues, whatever it was, we all kind of did all of it. And it all seemed to come from the same place. At least the music that I was playing all seemed to come from the blues. There was a strong blues base to everything that I was doing. So it didn't seem unnatural for me to go to all these different places musically.
Is there anything you like to focus on now, or are you just sort of, you're every man.
I don't know if I've really fundamentally changed that much. I think I'm pretty much the same. I have the same kind of, without sound corny about it, but there's a certain sense of awe and wonder about music. It was like, wow, how does this happen? This just comes out of nowhere. And it's still a miracle to me how it happens, I mean, because you're creating this, you're interrupting the silence. Kind of, you're creating this painting, kind of, and it's just amazing how that happens. From nothing comes this, all art to me is kind of a miracle, and it's just, it's always changing, always evolving, because people are always changing and always evolving. It's an expression of the human condition. You know, so in that sense, I don't think it. You can do anything else but change and evolve.
The technology has changed, certainly. All my music's on my iPod. I download everything. Is that good for you? CD sales aren't what they used to be, but people are buy everything from the iTunes store, so I'm paying for it.
Thanks for adding that. You know, I don't know if... I'm lucky in that, you know, I make a living playing music, whether it's for audiences or for to make records, to, you know. So whatever the state of the record business is, I shouldn't be saying this, but it's true. You know, I'll be all right, because I can always do this. You know, I can always play live. And, you know, I mean, I got into this not because necessarily it was a, wow, let me see how I can, you know, make a lot of money really quick. You know, I got into this because it was something I loved to do. And the fact that I can make a living doing it is great. And then I've been able to do it for as long as I have is a great gift. You know, so, you know, I mean, in a way, sometimes records, that shows you how old I am, recorded music, it's almost like advertisements for live gigs in a way. You know, so, I mean, look, there was a certain period of time when there was a golden age of records, CDs, what have you, that was, you know, pretty much my professional life in this business. And, you know, that arc, you know, was kind of peaked at a certain point in the 70s, 80s, you know, 90s, and then just kind of gradually, you know, because of different forms of technology, piracy, what have you, just kind of started to fall off. And whatever the state of the business is, I think music is going to be fine, you know, and people are going to find a way to get the music, whether it's digitally or you know, when they stop buying CDs altogether. It's going to be out there and available. And, you know, music is healthy. You know, what the music business may be not so healthy right now, but it's a time of change, and who knows what's going to happen next.
And you've had so many corporate people take over music business and radio stations. It's just...
It seems that way, doesn't it?
Yes.
And it seems like, I mean, and you know, that it's so far removed, the business on the street is so far removed from the actual ownership of the business, it doesn't seem they have much of a sense of the pulse of it anymore. It's almost like selling cat food, because it's an arm, you know, it's one division of a larger company. And it's pretty hard to, you know, have that passion once it moves up the line like that. And, you know, you got to make your numbers every quarter and, you know, whatever other, you know, corporate reality you have to deal with. And, you know, it just, life isn't always like that. Life doesn't, you know, no matter what the financial world has to do, you know, life doesn't, there's certainly the music business, and to my estimation, never worked like that.
Yes.
It doesn't work on every 3 months. You know, you got to make your, you know, records up and down. Right. You know, people have creative ebbs and flows, and you know, you have one record that doesn't sell so well, you're maybe not plugged into the zeitgeist of the culture or whatever, you know, as well as the last one, but then you come back and people, you know, go in and out of popularity, and I think that's just a reflection of, you know, growth as an artist and, you know, how you change, you know, and I don't think you can necessarily be, you know, always be subject to that kind of,
yes.
You know,
yes. Yes.
Determine what you do by the marketplace.
Right. You were there. You were talking about the golden time. You were the ultimate session guy, man.
You know, that's funny that you know. People always say that about me, and it always makes me kind of, you know, wonder. You know, I think what it was is that I never really made my living as a session musician. Most of the sessions that I did were people that I was working for on the road. I've been a road musician all my life.
Oh, yeah.
I was a sideman for, you know, Paul Butterfield, Stevie Wonder, David Bowie, James Taylor, Linda Ronstadt, different people. So a lot of these people that I did sessions for were people that I was working with already. And, you know, to me, a session musician is a guy who makes his living in the recording studio, and I never did that. I was never...
Because you wanted more then?
No, I just didn't have... the short answer is I didn't double on a lot of different woodwind instruments. And if you're going to make your living as a reed player in the world of sessions, it's a disadvantage to only play one instrument, the saxophone, and really only alto, you know, what I play. So most of what I did on other people's records was solos. So I did things that had a lot, very high profile, but in actual terms of numbers, I didn't do that, you know, that many.
Right. But it was good for you to break away and be an artist with your name above the title of the album.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it was good to be able to call the shots and to say, well, this is the music we're going to play, and have a little bit of control over, you know, the direction of the music. And that was what the appeal was to me.
All right, how about one of those really nasty inside stories of those artists that you... the dirt.
Oh, God. Well, the statute of limitations on, you know, everybody's still alive, so yeah. I can't really... The really good stuff I can't tell you.
Is this true that you started playing the sax for therapy because you had polio?
Well, I had polio when I was a kid, and when I was 11 years old, the doctors suggested that I play a wind instrument for therapy. So that was 1956, mm-hmm. and there was a lot of saxophones kind of in the air. Well, you remember.
Yeah.
Not to give away your age.
No, but well, I played clarinet in the high school band.
Well, there you go. So you understand the agony of reeds. But there was a lot of saxophones, you know, in the popular culture of music. You know, that saxophone was the solo instrument of rock and roll. So it was kind of everywhere. And I heard the Ray Charles Band, the guys in the Ray Charles Band, David Newman and Hank Crawford. And these were guys that I really wanted to, you know, that inspired me, that I wanted to play like. And so I kind of, you know, it seemed like very... much like the human voice, saxophone, you know.
What will you be doing here? Just a little of everything?
A little bit of everything, yeah. It's some older stuff, and I got a CD coming out at the end of May, sometime end of May, early June, on Decca, which is a division of Universal.
Yeah. What is it? What kind of music?
I'm kind of looking back to some of the music that inspired me to want to play music in the first place, primarily blues kind of stuff or blues-based kind of stuff. There was a musician I was telling you earlier about, Hank Crawford,
sure.
who was the arranger and one of the soloists in the Ray Charles Band. And I'm doing kind of adaptations of a couple of his arrangements and an old Gil Evans arrangement of St. Louis Blues and Basin Street Blues.
Oh, yeah.
And Joss Stone is on the record singing an old Ray Charles tune called I Believe It to My Soul. Eric Clapton singing a tune on the record. Sam Moore of Sam and Dave is singing a tune. So it's and they're kind of all, you know, either some related to Ray Charles some kind of way or Hank Crawford or, you know, some people that inspired me, Hank Crawford, Gil Evans, people like that.
People who do records with having guests sing and looking at a songbook win Grammys.
They do?
Oh, yeah. Maybe this is your next Grammys.
There you go. Hey. Your mouth to God's ear.
Jazz saxophonist David Sanborn. He's appearing at Yoshi's in Oakland through Sunday. I'm Don Sanchez, ABC7's Arts and Entertainment Reporter.
Thank you for downloading the Entertainment Insider Podcast. Look for a new podcast every Friday.